Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. Should kids have access to cell phones during school? It will be no smartphones allowed, period, at a private boarding school in Williamstown this year. And schools and districts around the state are experimenting with less extreme approaches after finding the pandemic created even more reliance on phones by students. Is it a good idea? Does it help kids focus better or cut them off from important resources? Let's talk about it. Joining us on the line, John Kalapos. He's the associate head of school for Buxton School in Williamstown. And here in Studio 2, Dr. Neha Sharma, child and adolescent psychiatrist at Tufts Medical Center. John, welcome.
Hello.
And Dr. Sharma, welcome to you too.
Hello.
So John, explain this year's ban at the Buxton School. How will this work?
Yeah, so essentially, because we're a boarding school, we just ask that students not bring smartphones to school, and no students on campus will have smartphones, and no teachers on campus will have smartphones. You will be allowed to have a non-smartphone, you know, like a cell phone from the mid-2000s or a newer device, but yeah, that's
the policy. Don't even bring them to campus. Leave them in your bedroom at home.
Yep.
And this sort of flip phone equivalent, I think it's called a light phone. And what does it allow you to do?
Yeah, it essentially allows you to call, text. You can have one playlist for music. You can listen to podcasts. And it's a really limited device. And yeah.
And why are you doing it, John?
Well, so we all as teachers were sitting around at the beginning of the year and thinking about whether from the 2020-2021 school year, like, how much phones and technology have become like a part of our life, and is that positive or is that negative? And in the classroom, we found that it was harder and harder to keep students' attention, but also out of the classroom, when anyone has a free minute, they're looking at a screen. And so much of education, we feel like, is happening outside of the classroom, in those like in those social interactions that happen between periods or in the lunchroom or things like that. And having smartphones was just diminishing that to a point where we don't want it anymore.
We're talking with John Kalapos from the Buxton School and Dr. Neha Sharma, a child and adolescent psychiatrist at Tufts Medical Center, about cell phones in schools. Turning to you now, Dr. Sharma, a number of schools are claiming that they've seen increased reliance on smartphones as kids return to school after this pandemic isation. A study in JAMA Pediatrics last November bore that out for adolescents, more reliance on all form of screens. Have you seen that in your work?
Absolutely. It's such a painful thing to witness, where kids are so much more reliant on phones. Their sense of self-esteem, self-worth comes from the interactions that are all based on social media through their smartphones, and the inattention is really high. One of the other things that has happened through pandemic is telemedicine. So these are the kids who need some sort of support. And when they're engaging with us in telemedicine, they're actually not engaged at all because it's yet another screen.
And they're tired of screens at the same time that they're using them all the time?
Well, I think what it is that the threshold of what's exciting and engaging has risen so much that to engage kids in person or via another screen, you almost have to be more animated to hold their attention. Kind of like what John is saying, is that inattention has become a real problem here. And I think screens are really contributing to it. So it's impacting patient care on my end, where these kids are struggling just to even engage, to receive help. And obviously, it's happening on the education level as well.
So turning back to you, John Kalapos, this idea, and, you know, I'll use a movie reference, that you have to now dial it up to 11 in order to be able to get a kid to engage. Is that a piece of what you're seeing inside and outside the classroom at your school?
Yeah, I mean, I think I always like to dial it up to 11 in my classroom, right? Like, that's the fun part of teaching. But I also think that it's more of a really dramatic shift that happens in a room, where you can tell that something has just happened online and all the kids went from being engaged to really not being engaged. Mm-hmm. And as a teacher, I have no control over that, right? It's like, oh, so-and-so just posted on Instagram, and then all of a sudden I've lost my class, you know?
Yeah. And so this outside intrusion that gets brought into the classroom that you neither choose nor want as part of your focus of teaching.
Yeah, exactly. And it's I don't think that it's a great piece of technology to have anyone you've ever met be able to reach you at any time, anywhere, you know, like, but.
So Dr. Sharma, can kids even process at that level?
I don't think they can, not that well. I think some kids can, but most kids really struggle with it. I think there's a fear of missing out to just have a put a pause on things. I think it's really scary for them. And it's a little bit of a, I guess, a bit of a new culture that if you're not connected all the time, then you're not important.
Interesting. So I want to play a little sound from Kiki Michella. She's the head of school for grades 5-8 at the Elliott K-8 Innovation School in Boston. When we talked with her, we asked her about this mental health piece, and here's what she had to say.
It's really, really hard to parse out on a day-to-day basis what causes what. We just had like a pandemic that we have never experienced before, which impacted students' social emotional well-being. So I don't know, is it the like COVID effect? Is it the cell phone effect? It's hard.
So Dr. Sharma, that, you know, FOMO, that fear of missing out, could be really anxiety provoking. You made a reference earlier to self-esteem. What right now, because I know the research has gone back and forth on this a little bit. Mm-hmm. Right now, what is the state of our understanding from the research about mental health in kids and screens?
Well, overall, my understanding, it is a little bit bidirectional, that kids who have low self-esteem and don't feel well connected and well understood are a little bit more marginalized, actually do worse on screens, mostly because it becomes their soul. It turns into a dependency, a little bit more addiction, because then it becomes their sole source of entertainment, connection, and feeling a sense of belongingness. But it's all very superficial and all very just based on visuals and optics. So it has a negative impact on them even more than other kids who may not already be having that predisposition. But overall, there's still significant associations of poor sleep for kids who have access to phone all the time. Poor sleep results into poor mood. Not having sufficient amount of rest just neurologically is causes mood changes, and poor mood eventually turns into anxiety and depression. So there is this piece about, on one end, it helps people get connected who are marginalized, but people who also need connections can have a negative impact because it allows a facade of superficial relationship. And on the other hand, it can create like a biological changes, like the circadian rhythm, sleep cycle kind of puts kids into more of a mental health issue and be more at risk.
We're talking about approaches that schools around the Commonwealth are thinking about or may be taking to cell phone use. You just heard Dr. Neha Sharma, who's child and adolescent psychiatrist at Tufts Medical Center. John Kalapos, associate head of school at the Buxton School, boarding school, where there will be no smartphones this year. Despite everything we just heard Dr. Sharma say, I'm guessing you did not get a chorus of cheers from the students when you said you'll be leaving them home this year.
No. We made the announcement in February, and it was a very unpopular decision. But it's been interesting to see over the course of the spring, we saw students buy in like at larger and larger amounts. And we have a number of students that are excited about it and a number of students that are ambivalent about it, but there's not very many students that still actively hate the idea, you know?
And what about parents? I mean, okay, as a parent of a high school student now, one thinks about all the school shootings. One thinks about, John, times of crisis and emergency where you might want to be able to reach your child. And of course, in your case, the students aren't even living at home. How have parents responded to this?
I think that's like a really legitimate concern, right? And I think a lot of the conversations I've been having with parents are talking them through, what does a smartphone do that a regular cell phone doesn't, right? Like, you're still going to have 24-hour access to your kid. They can still call, they can still text. And there are certain devices that also, like, they have cameras on them. You know, you can video chat. There's devices we've found that allowed like a video call with parents, but don't allow posting to Instagram, things like that. And so for me, like, implementing this policy, going through it, I've actually not found things that smartphones do that are critical that another device can't achieve.
So we reached out to our texting club here at Radio Boston about this. We got a lot of responses, and on balance, people were pretty much unanimously on the side of restricting phone use at some level. Cassie in Millis says she's a teacher and says, quote, way too distracting, not necessary at all, though I know many parents and students feel differently since we've seen school shootings, end quote. And then I want to bring in also a voice here, Latonia Monroe Naylor, who's a member of the school committee in Springfield, where they attempted a policy, and she told us the policies they had been using just weren't working that well.
We did have a cell phone policy in place where basically the staff could take the phones for the day or lock them in the safe until the parents could come pick it up kind of thing. But it was just so problematic that it was taking away from a lot of the time that folks are trying to spend teaching and educating kids.
So bear with me, because Dr. Sharma, I'm going to turn to you, but I also want to play a little more of the tape from Kiki Moshella, who's the head of school at the Elliott 5-8. Since last school year, her school has been using this pouch from a company called Yonder, and it does have a relationship with some schools, that students put their phone into at the beginning of the day, and they keep the pouch with them, and it's used to help with distractions.
Students feel the level of empowerment that their cell phone is still on them, like in their bag or in their pocket. So they don't have that problem where they have to like put it in this plastic bin and leave it here. Cause you know, nobody really wants to leave their cell phone anywhere. but they're not tempted to use it, whether it's in class or go to the bathroom or anything like that.
And sorry, Elliot's the K-8. Dr. Sharma, I'm holding my phone to my chest right now. It's here in the studio with me because it's become symbolic of so much more. How do we help families let go, and should we be?
I think setting limits is a really important thing. What I heard from John, that when the policy is made and announced like overarchingly for the whole school, over time, kids have accepted it. And I think that's kind of what happens, is that people need a reason and permission to let go. But there has to be an overall initiative. So what I suggest to families, that it's not so much of a loss, but a richness. And what really needs to be thought about is, what are you going to replace all the time that is spent on the phone? I think our dependency to have entertainment at any given point is actually problematic, because it takes away from creativity. You must have boredom in order to be creative. And so it impacts natural growth. I have two kids. They're a preschooler and a toddler. Most people are surprised that to this day, I have a 4.5-year-old. I do not have screen at my home. And it's not that I don't watch TV or anything, but yeah, my TV only starts after 10 p.m. Mm. And that has helped me kind of really hold on to the idea that I'm really supporting my kids to have creative. And they're super creative. I mean, problematic at home because of what they use to play. But at the same time, they're doing a lot more pretend play that I don't see other kids do. And it's hard because I have to engage them all the time. But I feel like it has allowed for closer connection, because I am a full-time mom. I'm working all the time. So, and my husband's full-time as well. So it allows for a closer connection. And it's the same thing for teenagers. Teenagers and toddlers are actually not that far apart from each other.
Dun, dun, dun. Somebody's not going to like that.
I'm sure. But they actually need that level of environmental limit setting. And what the parents will be getting is richness of the relationship.
So before we let this go, I'll turn back to you, John Kelepos, one more time. You know, a key to acceptance among the youth and adults, as I've heard from you, is the idea that there's this other option, this light phone. And those aren't cheap. You're a private boarding school. Are there equity issues to take into account, both in the policy there at the Buxton School, but also how other schools might want to or need to approach this over time? How do you think about that?
Yeah, so we are lucky enough to partner with Lightphone, where we'll be providing a cell phone, like a Lightphone, and service to any family and any kid and any staff that wants it. So it's, in terms of access, everyone has access to a Lightphone. And if they choose not to use a Lightphone, they can use another device, and that's also fine, as long as it's not a smart device. I also think that in the grand scheme of education and ed tech, the cost of a flip phone is so marginal to the other costs we have on education that this might not be the right policy for every school, but you know, $100 doesn't seem, has never been to me like $100 per student a limiting factor in creating policy. You know, like, I don't know how much money went out during COVID, but there's a, like, it's not a terribly like arduous budget line item for us.
All right, that is John Kalapos. He's the associate head of school for Buxton School in Williamstown, Massachusetts, where there will be no smartphones this coming year. Also here in Studio 2, Dr. Neha Sharma, who's a child and adolescent psychiatrist at Tufts Medical Center. Thanks so much to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.